Cool. So yeah, that's some cool topics for you guys. Gonna break some myths and some bullshit from online.
Fucking online.
And that way you can get the right information and use it in your day, use it in your daily routines. What up, Ashley? What up, Nick? So, yeah, we're going to give it a minute, I guess. We'll let some people come on. Once you're on, just hit that little share button if you can. Share it out to your friends. Share it out on your pages. If you're part of keto groups or health groups, you can share it into that.
Yeah, we...
Cool.
Yeah, like it, love it, share it, you know. You know the deal, guys.
And then if you're watching this on the replay, too, you could always share it also. You can comment. You can still like it.
Rate it 5 stars. What's up, Mr. Alvarez?
Yeah.
What's up, Pops? How you doing?
Check it out, too. SoundCloud and iTunes. Same thing, Mondays with Mike and Marty on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Yep.
You can rate us and review us there, too.
We're also put it up on Google Play, too. So.
Google Play, yeah.
So, I haven't checked it, but it said it was like pending. So we'll see what happens.
What's up, Ashley? Thank you for sharing. Awesome.
Very cool. Sweet. Very cool. Nick, Ashley, how are you? Alvarez, thank you for joining, guys.
All right, cool. All
right, well, who wants to go first? Fired up topics.
Okay, so I think we should do... So let's just do the net carb thing to get out of the way.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to be thinking about the whole time. So we'll do, you know, one of the big things that we've been like getting asked and seeing that wrong information, not the wrong, there's no right and wrong really, I don't think, but the information that about total carbs and net carbs. I've been hearing a lot of people say I count total carbs because I'm on a low carb diet. That's a low carb diet is awesome, but 20 grams of total carbs is really probably at the end of the day, absolutely zero carbs. Because if you're backing out the fiber, which is what you should be doing, then you're probably at no more than a couple of grams of carbs. All right. So,
can you guys hear us?
I think so. Can't hear you. Cool. All right. Well, so total carbs, net carbs. I'm going to explain to you, we're going to explain to you what the difference is and why you should be counting net carbs.
Yeah.
Whether you're on a low carb diet or not, like, so total carbs on the package, I'm going to use this Pro Granola from Julian Bakery as an example because it's just really good. It's really,
you
really good.
You ever had it before?
Yeah. If you have this before, throw a like or a love there because this stuff's awesome.
Yeah.
So this is super low net carb, which is why this is keto friendly, why it's diabetic friendly, why it doesn't spike insulin, glucose, and won't kick you out of a keto state. So if you're looking at the package, it says total carbohydrates, 14 grams, and that's for half a cup, which is a serving. Normally for keto, 14 grams of carbs would be kind of not really ideal because you'd be killing off, you know, a good chunk of your carbs for the day on half a cup of this. So that wouldn't really be ideal. However, you have to take out the dietary fiber, right? That's where you get the net carbs from. You would also take out any sugar alcohols, but this product doesn't have any sugar alcohols. So I would take 14, which is the total carbohydrate number. I would subtract 12 grams of fiber, and that leaves me with 2 grams of net carbohydrates. The net carbohydrates, total carbs minus the dietary fiber. The net carbs is the carbs your body is actually absorbing and metabolizing as carbs, getting broken down as glucose, and letting that's actually what the carbs are doing. The fiber, there's soluble and insoluble fiber, and most fiber is insoluble, which is why we're backing it out. So if you're concerned about the two, I know a lot of people are saying, well, you can't back out all the fiber because there's soluble and insoluble, which is correct. However, cool little thing, soluble fiber, although it does get digested, insoluble fiber doesn't get digested, soluble does, But it's actually even better for keto because soluble fiber binds to sugars and carbs and slows down the absorption of them in the bloodstream.
That's good.
Which is why soluble fiber is actually really good for managing blood glucose levels. So even if you don't back it out, it's still actually really benefiting you, especially if you're on keto.
Right.
You know, because it's the carbs and the sugar are trying to go into your bloodstream, into your body and digest the way they're supposed to, and the soluble fiber kind of binds to it and tries to pull it back. So total carbs, that's why we don't really count total carbs, because there's really no need to. Why would you count something that your body's not digesting? So it's, you know, it would be the same comparison as if you're counting water as total carbs. I'm saying your water's not getting digested as a carbohydrate. So why would you count that as a carbohydrate? You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't make sense.
You know, so like, you know, and that's just one example I thought of off the top of my head, because water is the closest thing to, you know, the water is the first thing I thought of. But like, you know, if you're eating something, it's not getting digested or metabolized, why are you going to count it?
No.
There's no logic behind it. And that's kind of like the science behind why net carbs instead of total carbs. It's a very controversial issue. And, you know, a lot of people are like, no, total carbs, no, net carbs. That's like a tug of war. But there is no science behind why you should count total carbs instead of net carbs. There's plenty of science and logic behind why you should count net carbs instead of total carbs, which I just gave you. So, you know, total carbs are not really, they're not really the one to actually count if you want to be accurate. So,
I mean, I think when I started keto, I obviously I was new to it, so I didn't really like know which one to count. So I was being very strict when I started too. So I was counting carbs to begin with, but as it went on, I was like, first off, if I'm counting carbs, it's limiting me to so much throughout the day, where it's like I eat one thing and I'm like, I already have 12 carbs. And I'm like, all right, awesome. Now basically I have to eat oil for the rest of the day just to make up for that difference. So then I found the whole net carb thing, and it's been like, that's all I do now.
Yeah.
I've been doing only net carbs probably for even longer than I've been doing keto.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's just, I think it's harder to do a keto diet or a low carb diet just if you're doing carbs only.
Yeah.
Like it's hard.
It's hard.
Really, really
and
hard.
And that actually reminds me too. I've been hearing this all over the place. I don't know who thought of it or where it came from or why it stuck so well and spread. You've probably heard of it too. Everyone's saying that to be on a keto diet, you must stay under 20 grams of total carbs a day, which makes absolutely zero sense. And that's a very bold and vague statement because everyone's body is different. Everyone's body responds differently. So 20 grams of carbs, great. Like, whose body is that based off of? Whose body is that study based off of? It's not mine, because I can't stay that low. Like, I think I mentioned it in the last video.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stay that low. Like, that's, you know, that's
like,
even if it's 20 net carbs a day, that's still so low.
Yeah.
And your body is different than mine. Mine's different than Marty's. Marty's is different from his wife's. Like, to broadly just say, in order to be keto, you need to stay under 20 grams of carbs a day. That makes no sense. Like, there's no logic behind that either. And, you know, like, I know people who can eat under 80 grams of net carbs a day and test their blood and still be in a state of ketosis.
Yeah.
You know, like, not to mention a state of ketosis is a pretty broad, like, you can test anywhere from 0.5 to what, like, 3 or 8 or higher.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can stay, even in a light state of ketosis, your body's still fat burning. It's still fat adapted.
It is.
So, like, you know, don't worry about like, oh, you need to stay under 20 grams of carbs. Like, people will stress that way too much, and it's not necessary, because your body's everyone's body's different and everyone's body reacts differently. So it's way too broad of a statement with no logic backing it up to say that you must stay under 20 grams of carbs a day to be keto.
Yeah, that's I think that's like too extreme.
That's way too
extreme. You know, and especially if you're just starting out, like, the last thing you want to do is fail. Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Especially if you're starting any new, like, lifestyle change. Like, setting such an extreme limitation on how much you can eat is just, like, setting you up for failure. And the whole point of starting a new lifestyle so you can succeed in the long run.
Yeah, exactly.
And change how you feel. And it's just like...
And that's what it is, too. It's the long run.
Yeah.
Long term. Like, this is not... I don't care what diet you're on, what lifestyle you live. It's a marathon. It is not a sprint.
Right.
Like, take it from me. I've tried diets. I've failed at them. I got discouraged. Same. And I was like, all right, like, whatever. Like, stick with it. It's a marathon. Like, this is the longest I've ever done a diet or lifestyle. I don't even like the word diet. It sounds
weird
coming out of my mouth. But you have to, you know, you have to remember that. It's not going to happen overnight. If you're trying to lose 50 pounds, you didn't gain 50 pounds overnight. So why would you be able to lose it overnight? You didn't gain it in a week, so you're not going to lose it in a week.
No.
It's a marathon. You have to be patient and you have to just learn along the way. Like, you have to learn and become smarter and wiser along the way. You can't expect it to happen overnight. As much as I know you want it to, and listen, like, I have goals too. I want my goals to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't, because I want to work hard for them. I want to fail and I want to learn.
I wish I would have lost 40 pounds in a night. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But no.
But you're happy you did, because you learned so much. You became so knowledgeable on the journey.
Yeah.
It's like,
I learn every day.
I like when things are difficult, because,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, when you finally get there, you're like, all right, like, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the journey kind of sucked, but it was good.
I worked my ass off for this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
let's see.
I had worked my ass off to lose the weight that I did. And if you guys didn't know, we mentioned it in the first podcast, but it's like, I lost over 40 pounds last year, just from doing keto. Like,
yeah.
It didn't happen overnight, guys. Like, I worked my ass off. Mm-hmm. I went to the gym, I worked out, and I ate keto.
Yeah.
That's basically all I did, you know. Like, yeah, I threw in some days or week or here, and it's like, and I had some enjoyment meals and some cheat meals, and which is like good refeed days, and you need that for a lifestyle.
That is so beneficial to you. Yeah, we have a question.
Yeah,
Diana. So as well as net carbs, you need to look at the ingredients as well. Hidden sugars. Yeah, absolutely. Always look at the ingredients, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
With that granola, I'm a bit confused. You subtracted sugar alcohols. Doesn't that spike your insulin and you shouldn't have it anyway? Advised. No, actually, the granola does not have any sugar alcohols. I was just saying, if it were to have sugar alcohols, you back them out. And most sugar alcohols do not spike insulin, which is why keto products use sugar alcohols instead of the alternative.
Yes.
So do some sugar alcohols spike insulin? Maybe. Again, everyone's body's different. You know, erythritol could spike my insulin a little bit and raise my blood glucose levels, but it might not for you.
And they won't spike
vice versa.
Like, totally.
No.
They won't spike it. Like,
no, because sugar does a little tiny bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Even if it's a little bit, you know, like, I've had things that raise my blood glucose levels or raise my insulin, and just in a little bit, it didn't take me out of keto.
Right.
But it raised it a little bit. I mean, it's, my body might have just reacted that way too.
Right.
So to answer your question accurately, most sugar alcohols, the higher quality ones that keto products use nowadays, they're thoroughly tested before they're put in a keto product, because those companies know for a fact that the hardcore ketoers are testing their blood glucose levels, they're testing their breath ketones. So they're not going to chance it because one wrong keto product that kicks you out of ketosis,
they're done.
You know, between the reviews in the keto community that are so strongly, you know, believed, that company's going to go down. So
yeah,
they don't want to take the chances. And now, most of the time, no, it won't spike your blood sugar, at least not enough to take you out of keto. Eileen, I have been told to eat cheese and don't eat cheese. I'm so confused. Oh, yeah. No, that was my fault. I read that wrong. I've been told to eat cheese and been told not to eat cheese. I'm so confused. Yeah. So dairy is another pretty controversial one, right?
It is.
And this goes, everything is reverting back to everyone's body is different. On keto, dairy is awesome. Full fat dairy all day.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But everyone's different. I am super lactose intolerant. If I have literally a slice of cheese, I'm going to be bloated for probably 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it won't hurt my stomach, but it'll bloat me. And it's just, my body does not respond well to dairy.
That's fair.
On or off, whether I'm doing keto or paleo, no matter whatever time of year it is, I'm
right.
Dairy free all year round. Even with my cheat meals, I still stay away from dairy because it's just not worth it for me. So for me, I don't eat cheese. However, too much dairy can cause inflammation in the body.
Yes.
Because as human beings, we're really not structured or designed to digest lactose. which is why, I don't know a statistic, but the majority of Americans are lactose intolerant in some way, shape, or form, whether it's, you know, you break out in acne, your stomach hurts, you get bloated, you get brain fog, you get tired. That's all, those are all like reactions of your body not liking the dairy that it's being fed.
I
like it.
I love cheese.
And if you can tolerate it, like, go for it. If you can tolerate dairy, it's an awesome way to get your fats in.
Yeah.
And let's face it, cheese tastes awesome on everything. So if you can tolerate dairy, I say go for it. Just, you know, like, too much of anything is no good.
No.
Too much.
Eat in moderation.
Exactly.
Eat in moderation.
Like, even once a day, like, if you have it, like, with, like, one or two meals. You know, if you're having it every day with every meal, that can
it's
be a little bit, you know.
Fresh mozzarella.
Yeah. Oh, they make vegan. We got vegan mozz in. It's called,
really?
It's literally called vegan mozz.
Interesting.
And they market it as vegan, but it's so clean. And it's paleo and keto.
Okay.
I feel like they should have been, like, this is paleo and keto.
Yeah.
It's literally tapioca, starch, organic cashews, coconut oil, and sea salt.
Wow.
And it looks like a real bowl of mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
I haven't tried it yet because it flew off the shelves. But
I can imagine. Yeah.
What was our next topic?
So, I have a little...
Yeah.
So, the other day, there was an Instagram post that Jillian Michaels posted.
Oh, yeah.
And she basically said... if serial killers were on a diet, they would be keto.
It's offensive.
Like, come on. like, what the fuck? Really? I'm not going to kill people.
That's like when the thing came out that said black coffee drinkers are more likely to be psychopaths or serial killers or something. And I was I drink three cups of black coffee a day.
Yeah.
So.
But on her podcast, somebody asked her a question about the Whole 30 diet.
Okay.
And basically, she's like, it's just a macronutrient diet. She's like, that's it. She's like, you just eat clean for like a month. And like, they started going into like what it is. And they're just like, no sugars, no alcohol, nothing. And she was just like, it's a macronutrient diet. She's like, anybody can do it for 30 days. She's like, for life, for a long time, no, it's not sustainable at all. And then she brought up like the paleo diet. And she's like, paleo people don't even know what paleo is. Like, paleo people don't know what to eat. Paleo people don't even, like, they can't agree on anything of what they can eat. Now, I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on. Like, she didn't specifically, I don't know where she got the post from about keto, because I kind of only listened to that portion, but I don't remember her actually mentioning keto at all. So I'm like, where are you getting off? Like, just like saying all this crap about these diets. Like, they are sustainable over a long term.
Absolutely,
like,
they are. They're meant for they're lifestyle diets for a reason.
Yeah,
they're not like little like fad diets. They're called lifestyle diets.
Yeah.
because you
do it for a long.
That's where paleo came into play in the first place. Paleo's whole concept, you know, dating back to when it started, was what we did when we were primal.
Yeah.
Men and women. Like, you know, like, and that's why paleo, the concept is, if you can't grow it, pick it, catch it, kill it, and eat it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't eat it.
Because when we were cavemen, as far as we know, obviously we don't know for sure, but if you want the meat, you have to go exercise, kill the thing, wrestle with it, win, and then chop it up and feed it to your family.
Yeah.
Okay. If you wanted berries or nuts or I don't even know, whatever they ate, you had to go and pick it.
Yeah.
Like, there were no bags that you didn't go, they didn't walk to the nearest tree vending machine and get a fucking bag of Doritos. Like, that's not how it worked. Like, you had to work for your food. You know, and that's where it comes into, like, even back then, they didn't have dairy. Like, you know, like, there were no cows to be milked in the caveman space. As far as I know, I did pretty well in U.S. history in high school. Like,
I
don't think there were, like. That's why, like, that's where the concept is kind of like based off of when it comes to paleo. That's where the paleo guidelines are coming from, is based off of what we did as cavemen and cave women.
Yeah.
And, you know, what food we had access to. Obviously, it's more modernized because we don't have to go out and hunt our food anymore.
Right.
And, you know, like, we have access to, you know, other things that are considered paleo that are just moderate, just like more modernized. But,
yeah,
you know, like, that's where it came from. And, like, we've been really, like, for years and centuries and decades, we've been doing paleo and keto.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have access
people
have
been
to
sustaining off it for
yeah. Even the cavemen,
time.
Like they,
yeah.
The cavemen were fat adapted.
Yeah.
You know I'm saying, like, if we ever you ever see a picture of caveman or what we were perceived caveman,
really
they, they're shredded.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not overweight. And if you think about it, what carbs did they really have access to?
Just leafy greens.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like the fats were everywhere. Like,
yeah.
No, like the blubber from the fat and the blubber from the animal,
yep.
Like they used everything. Like,
yeah.
They didn't get grossed out by stuff like
no.
People do now. Like they used every single piece of that animal because if they didn't know when their next meal was going to come. So, you know, like that's where the premise comes from. Like that's why it is a sustainable, you know,
yeah.
Lifestyle. Like, that's why they're called lifestyle diets.
So Jillian Michaels, if you're watching this, which I highly doubt you will, but
you never know.
But I think you're completely wrong.
So do I. I second that.
She also mentioned sugar detoxing. She
okay.
said it's not a thing. She's like, you don't. She's like, you just don't detox from sugar ever. She's like, you eat a carrot, there's sugar. It breaks down into glucose. She's like, everything breaks down into glucose. She's like, it doesn't matter what it is. She's like, I still crave. She's like, I haven't eaten brownies or cookies in like 2 years, but she's like, I still crave them. And then her co-host is like, yeah, you know, like I haven't really eaten like cookies at all in like a couple weeks and like I don't crave them at all. And she's like, and then all of her co-hosts are like jumping down her throat. They're like, are you human? It's like, no, it's possible to not crave sugar anymore.
That's how I am. Listen, the
so
way
it's possible.
The whole reason you even crave sugar is let's be real and raw because that's what we're about. Sugar's a drug,
yes.
Right? There are many medical studies. This is not even us saying this. This is medical studies from universities that sugar reacts the same way in the human brain as cocaine does. At what dosages of each, I don't know, but doesn't even matter because just the fact that sugar and cocaine react the same in the brain should be enough to tell you that sugar is a drug. Your sugar cravings, that's an addiction. You're addicted to it.
Yeah.
Right? And it really is a drug. But because the sugar companies run the entire world, sugar will never be classified as a drug. And it's probably better off that way, realistically, because if the sugar companies did go down, the world would literally crumble and Armageddon would form because it's just that's that they're behind everything.
Yes.
And that's the way it was strategically planned. And business-wise, good for them. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Like, sugar's a drug. That's why you have such a hard time getting off sugar. And that's also why you go through physical and mental withdrawals because it's like you're coming off of a drug.
It's hard.
It's very hard. Sugar addiction is super hard. And it's very hard to overcome and detox from. You can absolutely detox from it.
Absolutely.
I detox from sugar. I literally don't have more than 25 grams of sugar a day.
Yeah,
at all. Like
awesome.
It does not go over 25 because I know how it reacts in my brain.
Yeah.
I know what it does to the human body and the human brain. And I work way too hard for, and you know, you too.
Yeah.
We work way too hard for health.
Just to like sabotage my.
And I don't crave it.
No.
You could put a plate of whatever you want, sugar filled in front of me, and I will have no desire for it at all.
There's definitely days where, I mean, I definitely don't crave it as much as I used to. That's for sure. I mean, I'm human. So it's like,
yeah, of course,
there's definitely days where I go, where I'm like eating and I'm like, fuck, I was like, I could really go for like Reese's Pieces or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, but at the same time, like we said, like for me, it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
Because I worked so, so hard. I mean, granted, a Reese's Pieces isn't going to kill me if I have one
once a month
or something, you know, but
even
it's
once a week is
yeah.
not that I, you know,
but it's still not something that
yeah.
I like legit crave anymore because
yeah.
when I first started, like I would say, so when I like quit drinking like a year and a half ago, I definitely craved sugar a lot.
Yeah.
Like for like 2 months, like I ate every piece of candy that was like a wrap. And like, and I was also trying to eat keto at the same time. So it was, but like, I just like had to eat sugar. Like I ate so much.
Your body craves it.
But
yeah.
Then when I started going full keto and, you know, like, I think it was January of last year. Yeah. It, like those first 2 weeks were like, fuck, I was like,
yeah,
I need like,
that's brutal.
Yeah. I went through the keto flu and, you know, it was definitely tough, but it was like, But I got over it, and like after that, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, I don't crave it anymore. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
once you get over that like speed bump.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, I was explaining this to someone the other day. They were like, yeah, it's really difficult. But the way I see things and, like, the way, like, what I – people always ask me, and I'm sure you get the question too, like, how do you use the willpower? Like, how do you – you're tempted. How are you so disciplined? I'm not even really that I'm disciplined, but it's all a mindset. Like,
yes.
I'm so big on mindset. And the way I think of things for myself and the way I explain it to others is – don't give up what you want most for what you want now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want the candy now, but do you want to be healthy and love your body and be happy with yourself most?
Yeah.
Because that's the long term. That's the long game. You're going to enjoy your candy for 20 seconds that you're chewing it and swallowing it. And then what?
And that's it.
And then you're like, okay, like that sucks.
Yeah.
But
now what?
You know, when you're happy with your body and you're healthy and you feel good, and you're losing weight if that's what you want to do, and you're losing inches if that's what you want to do, you fit into clothes you didn't fit in since high school because you lost so much weight, that's going to be a lot more rewarding, and that's going to be an even bigger drug than the sugar that you're eating and that you're enjoying for a couple seconds.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not, you know, like I always tell people, don't give up what you want most for what you want now.
Yeah.
Because what you want most is a nice, you know, a healthy body. You want to look good, feel good. That's what you want most. You're going to give it up for what you want right now, which is pizza or candy. And it's just, it's not worth it. You're thinking the short term micro, you have to think long term macro.
Yep.
And it's just, it's the little micro things. Like that, right? It's, you have to like the little short term things equal the long term thing. So it's what you're doing day to day that's going to help, that's going to make the difference in 3 years.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean? You have to do those little things to make the big.
It's hard, guys. Like we're not sitting here saying it's easy to just like change your mindset overnight, but it
took me 4 years.
Yeah.
And I'm still practicing it. I'm still working on things.
Like,
it's gotten better, but even after 4 years of hardcore practice every single day, there's not a day that goes by I don't work on my mindset.
Yeah.
There's just not.
No.
It's just it's such an addiction that I have to work on my mindset.
Absolutely.
And not a day goes by.
It's the most important thing.
Yeah. And I'm still learning.
Absolutely.
I'm still practicing it. I'm
every
forever going to be practicing it. I'm literally going to be on my deathbed still like, okay, I have to work on this, my mindset. Like, I have to work on, you know, you can never be good enough with your mindset because you always learn and you're always progressing with it. And it makes a huge difference.
It does.
Huge difference. If I didn't change my mindset, I would not be sitting here with Marty talking to you right now the way I am about what I'm talking
and
about.
I wouldn't be here either.
You know,
like I would probably still be fat and just overweight and out of shape, and you know, like
it all starts with the mind.
It does. It's a
question.
Do we have any questions?
Eileen, I don't think this is a question, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's awesome. I have only lost 10 pounds in 2 months. Don't say only because 10 pounds is 10 pounds.
Yeah,
10 pounds is a lot of weight in 2 months, but lost inches and feel better. That's awesome. Inches are even more important than pounds. Don't even worry about pounds. If you lost inches and your clothes fit better and you feel better, that was the biggest thing, then that's awesome.
If you want to know something personal, but these jeans, my wife bought me like, I don't know, like a couple weeks ago, and they're like huge on me already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm still progressing and transforming, you know? It's like, it just continues.
Yeah.
And like, I may still stay the same weight, but it's like.
Even for me, I was at a 34 waist before keto.
Yeah.
I'm a 29. Like these pants are a 31, and if I don't have a belt, they literally fall off me.
I was like between 34 and 36 when I started keto, and these are 32, and they're like huge.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I was like,
It feels really good.
These jeans are huge on me, right?
Diana, can I ask with the granola, is it okay for my kids to have it with A2 milk?
What's A2 milk?
Diana, what's A2 milk so we can accurately answer your question? Or is that no good? I'm trying to change their eating slowly. Well, first of all, your kids can absolutely have the granola as long as they're not allergic to anything in it. Check the ingredients. I'm very careful when it comes to kids. Like we as adults know our allergies, but I mean, obviously, you know your kids' allergies. Like, you know, I know that, but you know, as long as they're not allergic to anything in there, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to have this. It's very healthy. It's made of all, you know, whole foods, superfoods. Some of the ingredients, I think most of them are even organic.
Yeah, everything is organic in here. There's just so you guys know, there's egg white powder, organic digestive resistant prebiotic tapioca fiber, organic pumpkin seeds, organic chia seeds, organic flax seeds, organic sesame seeds, organic coconut oil, organic shredded coconut, organic cinnamon, vanilla extract, monk fruit, and ProDura. So it contains eggs and coconut. So if they're allergic to any of those, I mean, outside of that, should be good.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have an allergy to eggs or coconut or seeds, then absolutely, I don't see why not.
And
it's
like,
super delicious.
Yeah, you throw that in a bowl with some unsweetened almond milk or some unsweetened coconut milk.
Yeah.
And that's cereal right there.
Maybe even a couple blueberries.
Yeah. You know? The blueberries aren't included.
No.
I don't know why they took the picture with the blueberries. They literally started putting on the package.
They posted on Instagram like every other day. Sorry, guys. There's no blueberries in the package.
There was someone the other day, and they were like, oh, I bought this the other day. And we're like, mine didn't have blueberries in it. And I was like, I know.
Doesn't come with blueberries. So the other thing that I want to kind of go over tonight was thank you. This setup is awesome.
Thanks,
this is all Mike's stuff.
I pulled this. Is all my these are this is what my cabinets look like.
Yeah.
So I just pulled my rated my cabinets in earlier. I also have some. I figured this was cool too because this is the fiber since we were going to be talking about
slave
it.
Musk.
Slave husk.
Nice.
All right. So I have Sunergenic products. Really awesome company. They make an electrolyte formula. They make a keto complex. They make a whole bunch of stuff. Apple cider vinegar pills.
Yeah.
Psyllium husk. Like they're a really good company. So.
We mentioned apple cider vinegar last week.
Yeah.
I just want to mention a personal feat that my wife is no longer on her blood pressure medication because she takes apple cider vinegar every day.
Apple cider vinegar is awesome.
Yeah. She started taking it a couple weeks ago, about a month or so ago, mixing that with a little fiber,
mm-hmm.
and she no longer is on blood pressure medication.
That's
amazing.
And it's that simple.
And she's been losing weight. And she's been doing awesome. I'm proud of you, babe. Good job. I mean, kick ass. Keep going. Also, Sail Away. It's really delicious.
Yeah, shout out to Sail Away. Bang. Yeah.
Guys, if you're in the stores, go get this.
Yeah, they just released the nitro cans. They have the unsweetened, the sweetened, and the sea salt caramel, which is what Marty and I are drinking. Awesome stuff. They released the cans on March 7th. So they're literally blowing up and they're probably everywhere. So if you're somewhere, chances are you can find Sail Away cans somewhere local.
Let's see. We're drinking, just curious. We're drinking Sail Away, nitro, sea salt, and caramel, cold brew coffees. So this is the can. This is the can. It's dope.
Diana, would love for both of you to show a lot more products like granola. Explain things to us. It is really informative.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys have products that you want us to explain, you know, not products specifically. I mean, like, okay, if you like chips and crackers and cookies and pizza, message one of us and be like, hey, I love chips, crackers, cookies, and pizza. Can you do a video on the healthy versions of those and what the ingredients are, why it's healthier, why the ingredients are better than the store-bought, then we're happy to do that. We have, luckily, very gratefully, we have access to all the alternatives.
Yep.
So we can do a video on that stuff. Just so you guys know, if you have any ideas on what you want to do, you know, we do these videos and podcasts for you. So, you know, if you have ideas, and we're fully open to ideas, so, you know, anything you guys want to figure out and want to know, feel free to shoot us a message, you know, like...
And we'll get you the information.
Yeah, I mean, Diana, the only other thing I have here I can show you is the No Better Foods breadcrumbs. It's the only other thing I have in my cabinet. I had to go food shopping, clearly. This is... These are awesome. I made chicken cutlets with these the other night. Keto chicken cutlets. I actually used cheese on that too. I threw a piece of mozzarella. It made me bloated, but it was worth it. So, for example, 1 ounce of this is a serving size. and they actually started putting it on the front. So it has total carbohydrates, 8 grams, dietary fiber, 3 grams, and allulose is the natural sweetener they use, derived from figs, jackfruits, raisins, maple syrup. It's a natural sweetener. And the allulose they use is 4 grams. So you have to back out that, and that leaves you with 2 grams of net carbs per serving. So that's another example for you, Diana. And it's awesome stuff because it comes out literally like regular breadcrumbs.
Yeah. I do it with, I always use them with the mac and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I make cauliflower mac and cheese, or I actually made No Foods Pasta mac and cheese last night or 2 nights ago. It was awesome.
You did that for the keto.
I know. That's where I got the idea from.
Oh, my God.
That's where I got the idea from. So what else?
We have another question. I've always been taught to count carbs versus net carbs when counting macros. We're still struggling to count net carbs, so just to clarify for the 300th time for myself, count net carbs even when counting macros. Yeah.
Yes.
Count net carbs even when counting macros, because even when you're not on keto and you're doing a macro counting diet or a paleo diet or whatever diet you're doing, if you're counting macros and that's your diet, that's awesome. As long as you have a strategic macro count specific to you and your goal and your activity level and your lifestyle, then you still should be counting net carbs, because the net carbs are the carbs your body's actually metabolizing as carbs. So if you're still, even if you're not keto, your body still is not digesting all of the fiber. So you still have to back that out even when macro counting, which is really good for you, even with the macro counting, because then you're allowing yourself even more carbs to enjoy throughout the day. You know, just make sure that it's still gluten-free, grain-free. I would do that. What else we got?
Diana, you're welcome. So I guess some other topics that we want to cover. How do you feel about like weighing food? Like when you're starting out.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a big fan of it. I also got myself very used to it because I used to do like natural bodybuilding.
Yep.
So I would literally weigh out every grain of rice that I was eating. So I was used to it. The food scale, the measuring cup, I had those like in holsters on my belt. Like so for me, it was really not that hard, especially when I first started keto.
Yes.
Because
I think
if I didn't track it, I had no idea, like, okay, like, how many carbs am I having? Like, how many fibers am I having? When you're first starting, I think tracking and measuring out things is as tedious and annoying and time-consuming as it can be. It is essential. Because if you don't measure things out, how are you supposed to know how many carbs you're eating for the day?
You can go on, like, Pinterest or whatever and go look at, oh, what's 3 ounces of whatever? And you look at it and you're like, so, like, you're going to sit there and, like, count. It's like, oh, there's, like, 6 grains of rice. It's like, no, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Buy a food scale for like $10 off Amazon. Mm-hmm. Buy a good measuring cup or whatever, and just weigh your food for the first couple months.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks. It's annoying, but once you actually like realize what 3 ounces of like meat look like, and 3 ounces of grains look like, or whatever, you know, like
that's the thing.
You get an idea of what is what.
Yeah. And so, you know, like you said, like just for the first few months, get the hang of it. Because now it's to the point, like, I'm sure you could do it too. You just eyeball it.
Yeah.
You know what a half a cup of that is. Like, And then after a few months, it's like not that big of a deal anyway.
Right.
Like, I was talking to someone the other day. They were like, oh, yeah, I've been doing keto for 5 months. I'm like, right on. It's awesome.
Cool.
And then she kind of went on to tell me that she counts out 16 macadamia nuts. And I was literally like, you don't need to do that.
No.
You know, like the fact that you're counting out 16 macadamia nuts tells me you're way over complicating keto.
Yes.
You know, like, or any diet for that matter. Yeah. Like, don't overthink it. You know,
make
like,
things simple for yourself.
Yeah, simple is the best way to do it. Simple succeeds.
Yes, because once you start overcomplicating things, it becomes difficult to stay on track.
And people, as human beings, we all overthink anyway.
Absolutely.
Let's face it, you know, like, we all overthink things. We always do. And it's good because you want to be perfect with it. But at the same time, it's like if you overthink some things, you're going to overcomplicate them. And when you overcomplicate them, you know, you make it more difficult for yourself.
Absolutely.
Changing your lifestyle is going to be difficult on its own without you overcomplicating it. You know?
So I guess the other thing is, we talk a lot about it, is intermittent fasting.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Big fan.
So, I guess there's a lot of myths between like how you do it and how long you should do it for. Mm-hmm. So, for me at least, so I guess the basic of intermittent fasting is the basic one is, so you basically don't eat or basically don't take in anything except water or coffee or something.
Yeah.
For about 16 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do an 8-hour feeding window.
Yeah.
And you eat, I mean, you can basically eat what you want,
yeah.
But I mean, it's essential if you're doing it on, it helps when you're doing keto.
Definitely.
Because it helps you get into ketosis faster.
Yeah.
But how do you, I guess, for me, like, I consider, like, fasting not taking in solid foods.
Yeah.
So I usually, in the morning, I do, like, a bulletproof coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's, like 200 calories or 300 calories or something. But to me, at least for my own, like, well-being, I do that rather than, for me, I think fasting is not taking any solid foods.
Yeah. Okay. There's two different schools of thought. I always believed in the way you do it.
Okay.
Because technically, fasting, anything with a calorie breaks your fast.
Right.
But if you're doing it for keto, the whole point of fasting is to put you into a state of ketosis.
Correct.
If you're drinking a bulletproof coffee, which is super high fat, no carb, if any, you know, and it's just pure fat.
Yeah.
And it's highly caloric, so it's going to keep you full. But that healthy fat in the coffee gets broken down right into ketones,
right?
Which is then going to be, not only are you drinking something that's getting broken down into ketones, but you're doing it in a fasted state.
Right.
That's going to like boost you into ketosis.
Yeah.
So for keto, yes, it's calories. So technically it's breaking a fast, but it's pushing you even further and faster into ketosis. So I think it actually makes more sense to eat something,
yes.
to drink something, I mean, with high fat. Then not at all.
Okay.
I'm definitely all for it.
And
that's what I do when I fast. I don't do just any. I do my bulletproof coffee.
Yeah.
I have very high fat coffee while doing my fast.
Because I forget where I was reading it. I forget what group I joined recently on Facebook, but they were like, how do you do intermittent fasting? And people were like, you can't take in anything except water or black coffee. And I'm like, that's like kind of crazy. I'm like, granted, that's kind of what fasting is supposed to be, but
yeah.
I'm like,
but it depends on why you're fasting.
Like, come on, I feel like that's too extreme for somebody to like,
especially if
you're just starting.
I'm just gonna say that
intermittent fasting. Like, how are you supposed to tell somebody to be like, for 16 hours you can only drink water and black coffee and you can't eat any food?
Like, it's gonna make people be like, okay, I never want to do keto again. Because as soon as you get miserable and cranky and angry,
yeah,
you're gonna be a dick to everybody you work with and around you, and they're gonna be like, listen, like, you need to stop fasting. You need to eat right now. I don't care what it is. Like, the fasting is so beneficial. Actually, cool little thing I learned today, which I actually didn't know. I love learning new things. I get so excited. Caffeine. So I watched a video on the effects of caffeine and ketosis.
Okay.
And at first I was like, damn, what are they going to tell me? Oh, my God, I can't get on my caffeine. But they actually said, and it went more in depth than this, but pretty much caffeine helps boost ketones into your bloodstream.
Really?
Which means caffeine is awesome for keto.
Fantastic.
And it's even cooler when, like I know a company who, I think they're going to release it, or they released it already, a BHB, exogenous ketone supplement.
Okay.
And they put caffeine in it. Only 100 milligrams, I think.
Okay.
But I thought that was cool because I use ketones as like a midday pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Or like after a cheat meal or whatever.
Yeah.
But now knowing that, it's like the caffeine is going to supercharge that exogenous ketone BHB supplement, and it's going to make it that much better because it's the caffeine, 100 milligrams of caffeine is going to take the exogenous ketones and literally
burst them into your
bloodstream. So
I was really good for that.
So while we're talking on the topic of coffee, I mean, the caffeine's awesome for doing keto, and obviously make sure you have a good single origin coffee if possible.
Yes.
To stay away from all the molds and stuff like that. But
coffee's great in general.
Yeah, coffee. I mean, you get a good quality coffee, you get polyphenols, antioxidants. It's one of the most beneficial antioxidants you can have.
Nice.
Well, let's see. Eileen. My struggle is not sugar. Power to you. That's awesome. I have never liked sweets, but my struggle is I'm Latina. I love beans, rice, tortillas, and potatoes and beer. But I'm doing good. I've cut them out. Wasn't easy, but I did.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's really
respect.
Awesome.
And you know, again, like Marty and I said, it's not going to be easy.
No.
The fact that that wasn't easy is actually a good thing, because now you can be even more rewarded towards yourself as far as saying, well, it wasn't easy, but I did it. Like,
yeah.
That's like throw your fist in the air. Like, you know, you should be happy about that, because yeah, it wasn't easy. It's not easy. I know it's not. You know, like, but you have to also remember, like, yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you did it, and it's
keep
worth
kicking
it.
Ass.
You know, yeah, definitely keep kicking ass.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Really awesome that you don't have a problem with sugar, because that is a huge upper hand for you.
That's not the same. That doesn't go for everybody else.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly.
So I guess when we're, if we're getting into that topic of kind of like eating, since we were on that topic anyway, what do you think about like eating while you're going out? Like,
yeah,
when you
that's a huge,
like,
that's a big
going to like a restaurant with like friends and stuff. Like, I know that for me, if I'm going out with friends, I try to like be a little bit flexible with what I'm eating.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't always stay keto when I go out to eat, just because
yeah.
It's like
I know.
I go out to dinner, you know, like
yeah,
enjoy yourself a little.
Exactly.
You know, like what the hell?
If you're gonna go out to dinner too, like if I know I'm gonna go out to dinner, I'll usually save that as my cheat meal.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to, like me, like I have no shame. Like I don't care. Like I'm just like I'll sit there and stay keto, and like whoever judges me, whatever. But like, you know, like you don't have to sacrifice your social life and go. You know, you don't have to sit there and be miserable and, you know, not eat what you really want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, like eating keto at restaurants, it's not that hard. And you're not going to be miserable. It's not like you're sitting there and picking on lettuce. You know, like you can eat. The possibilities are endless when you go out to restaurants for keto.
It is.
Like it's as simple as ordering a badass burger and removing the bun.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That's all it takes sometimes. But if you want to use it for your cheat meal,
go for it.
Enjoy. Like, you really, and this is another thing that I see on Facebook and in some groups, and it makes me like not even mad. It's just like I'm disappointed at some people who just like tell people wrong information. And like you can have a cheat meal. Like I was explaining why a cheat meal was good a few weeks ago, and I had someone comment and it was like, I would appreciate if you didn't talk about cheat meals because whatever. And they went, I didn't even read the whole comment because I was just like, okay, and I was like, but like if your willpower is so little that all it takes for you is to see someone speaking about cheat meals on Facebook, willpower and cheat meals are not your real problem. You need to get your mindset right first, because you can literally put my favorite cheat meal in front of me and I won't touch it. That's not because I'm more disciplined than you. That's not because I'm better than you. That's because my mind is in the right place. You know, like I don't care who talks about whatever, you know, but I was trying to explain that like cheat meals are good. Like cheat meals are beneficial. They have health benefits.
Yeah.
It's what you do over time consistently. If you're having a cheat meal every day,
not good.
That's not even a cheat meal anymore. But
it's just eating.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but if you're same thing, like one keto meal is not gonna make you lose weight, just like one shitty meal is not gonna make you gain weight. One keto meal is not gonna make you healthy, like one unhealthy meal is not gonna make you healthy. Yeah. That's what I'm
saying.
It's like when you're so used to keto, like if you're
consistent on your eating,
yeah,
and if you're eating keto or paleo, whatever diet that you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're consistently eating on that lifestyle, then having a cheat meal is fine.
Yeah.
You're gonna enjoy yourself.
It's
guys.
Good
it's
for
like,
you too, because you're gonna wake up even in better shape than you were the last day, because you've been so used to it and so consistent with it that cheat meal is gonna shock your body, and then it'll take you out of ketosis or pull you out of whatever healthy lifestyle you're eating, but then you're going right back into it the next day, and then your body's like, oh, okay, never mind.
It's like, I appreciate the good meal that you've
had.
Not that you're eating bad, but it's like, oh, wow. It does have
its health benefits.
Yes.
Believe it or not, it sounds weird, but it does have its health benefits.
And for your mentality.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to keep you sane.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you can't do a diet or lifestyle without having a cheat meal.
No.
Because if you don't have one, you're going to drive yourself insane, and you're going to hate it, and you're not going to want to continue doing it.
Yeah, if you, exactly. You know what? That was perfect, because if exactly what Marty said. If you're going to like deprive yourself of it, and you're going to feel so guilty, you're going to stay healthy.
Yeah, like,
and you're going to start to resent being healthy and the healthy food, and then you're going to revert right back to your old ways. And that's when people start to give up on diets.
And it doesn't work.
No.
It just doesn't work.
Because as soon as you start to resent it, you're going to be like, well, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too expensive. I don't have time to do this. It's just, there's not enough that I can eat. I had someone give up a few months ago, a client of mine. I don't fail my clients. If I fail my clients, I fail myself. I never once, since I started coaching, have failed a client. Like, I don't care what it takes. Like, I will sit there on my day off, and if my keto is not working for them, I will rack my brain thinking about, okay, what can we do instead?
Yeah.
So, but the person was just like, well, there's nothing for me to eat. I'm sorry. Thanks anyway, but bye. And I was like, listen, you used that as an excuse.
There's plenty to eat.
Your mind wasn't there. Again, mindset. Your mind wasn't there. You didn't truly want it. You didn't want to put in the work for it. You know, like, to be really honest, like, don't be lazy with it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're lazy and you're not willing to put the work in, it's not going to work. I don't care what kind of diet or lifestyle it is, what kind of awesome coach you have, what kind of help you have, what kind of podcasts you're listening to. You know, if your mind is not there and you're just too lazy to do the work, nothing's going to work. And if you don't change anything, nothing's going to change. Like, that's one of my favorite things. That's, again, one of those quotes that keeps me going.
Yep.
Like, for things to change, you have to change.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted things to change, so I changed. I changed my mind. I changed my eating habits. I changed my daily routines. I literally changed who I was, you know, for the better. I improved who I was because I wanted things to improve. So, you know, I didn't, you know, if I want things to improve, I can't just sit there and expect them to improve.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
No.
I wasn't lazy. No, Marty too. Marty, you don't just lose 40 pounds and become in great shape from sitting. He didn't just sit at his desk hoping, wishing, you know, praying that it would happen.
I wish I did.
He got off of his ass. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't afraid to put the work in. He wasn't afraid to make mistakes. And look how it paid off.
And I made mistakes.
And he learned from them. That's why he became smarter with this, because he made mistakes. Now he can tell you what to do based off of what he did and messed up.
How I get to do this.
Yeah. Like, I love my mistakes. Everybody. My mistakes are literally what fuel me, because now I can tell you what not to do because I did it and I messed up.
Learning experience.
Literally, like, I did this and messed up. So you don't do what I did, because it was wrong and I messed up with it.
Don't go into the Reddit community for keto and start talking about cheat meals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll get banned.
Don't do what I did.
Pretty sure I got banned.
I've gotten kicked out of a couple
and
of
years. And it was like my, I'm pretty sure it was my first, like, I was like, oh, let me go on Reddit, because Reddit has everything imaginable. So I'm like, oh, the keto community, cool. And I think, like, I was like a couple months in. So I'm like, how does everybody feel about, like, cheat days on keto and stuff? And I got like a badly written letter from like the admin of the keto
community. Welcome to the keto community.
They're like, you are no longer. You, not no longer, but like, you cannot talk about cheat meals in this community. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Every time I would sign in, there'd be a giant like background that said, read the guidelines. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm like,
some of them were way
too much. And this is like the Reddit / keto, like the main community on Reddit. And they're like, I stop logging in there. I'm like, this sucks. I'm
if
like,
you guys are looking for a cool keto group that's very positive and uplifting and very, very rarely, if ever, has any drama and blocking and stuff like that, is Lazy Keto with Jess. I'm a part of that group, and everyone is super cool. Everyone just is simply there to learn. Like, everyone just wants to learn. Questions, recipes are shared. You know, if there's any misconceptions, people like me go ahead and correct them, so like people can get the right information, you know. So that's a really cool one. Eileen. So if I'm not feeling the energy, does that mean I'm not getting enough fat? Most likely, yeah. Most of the time, right? Like, what do you think? That most of the time is pretty accurate, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a lot of times people drop their carbs.
Up your fats.
Yeah.
And kind of, I mean, it also depends on what you're eating. Because,
yeah.
I mean, yes, the main thing is you're probably not getting enough fats, but I think it also goes by like what you're actually eating. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're not getting enough fats and you're eating a little bit higher of protein, because,
yeah.
I mean, it's like moderate protein. So it's like, you know, you got to really see what you're eating and kind of seeing what affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the number one thing is assess what you're eating first.
Yeah.
And then go off of that and kind of see, all right, I'm eating a little bit too much of this. So maybe I'll cut back on that and I'll throw in, I don't know, like an extra tablespoon of olive oil or something. Or
yeah.
Have a couple almonds or have another avocado, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'll kind of like backtrack and like retrace your steps and see, you know, assess what you're eating.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's write it down. Go over. Okay. What am I eating? And then you'll be able to see. Like once it's all paper in front of you, you'll probably usually be able to be like, okay, well, I'm probably not eating enough of this or this, or you know, you can always write down what you eat on a daily basis and send it to one of us.
Yeah.
And you know, right off the top of our heads, we'll most likely be able to be like, well, right away off the bat, you're probably not getting enough fat, or you're probably having too much protein, or whatever the case is.
Try MyFitnessPal.
Yeah, MyFitnessPal.
It's probably the easiest thing to like track what you're eating, and you can input your macros. You know, you can adjust them to a keto lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if you just take a screenshot of that on your phone, send it to one of us, we can, you know,
mm-hmm.
we can
Definitely.
Quickly let you know what you're having too much of and, or a little of. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we have, let's see. Oh, crap, look at that. Our comments weren't scrolling.
Make sure you guys share it.
Yes.
If you can, too. Like, hit that share button. Means a lot to us that you share our video. Hit the like, hit the love, send us some love.
Love it all.
Check us out, iTunes, SoundCloud.
Google Play.
Google Play.
Soon, should be, I hope so.
Check out our Instagrams. We'll put them in the comments section.
Like our page now.
Yeah,
too.
Like our Facebook page. We invited, between the two of us, we invited probably all of you.
I apologize to all of you that for like, blowing up your mailboxes because I basically went through my friends list and I just hit invite.
That's what I did.
Invite. So if you're watching this and you join, cool. Thanks.
Awesome.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, not bad.
all right, we have one more question.
All right, one last question before we wrap it up.
From Brian, what's the deal with sugar alcohol?
Awesome question.
I'll let you go.
I mean, sugar alcohol is usually pretty good on keto or in general. Most sugar alcohols they use now are pretty tolerable to the stomach too, because sometimes sugar alcohols can be a little harsh on the stomach.
Yeah.
Some popular ones are erythritol, xylitol, spelled with an X, in case you're looking for it. Xylitol, erythritol. The sugar.
Allulose,
yeah. Technically, that's not even a sugar alcohol, which is why it's like that's why it's listed as a sugar on No Foods, which is annoying. I wish I had it all. Eventually, I think it's going to have its own category.
What about maltitol?
Maltitol.
Is that considered a sugar alcohol?
Yeah. Maltitol is a sugar alcohol, but that's one of the ones that's kind of like should stay away from. It's actually a little bit more toxic to the body than most people think, which is why a lot of keto products don't use like maltitol anymore. Like, even the chocolates.
Okay.
Not the chocolates. Yeah, chocolates. The keto candies. I think some of them even say no maltitol in it.
Oh, that's good.
Because people are starting to be like, it's not good.
Kind of takes you out.
Yeah. So like erythritol and xylitol are the most popular ones. And then you have things like monk fruit, stevia.
Yeah.
These are not sugar alcohols, but they're good alternatives. Like monk fruit, stevia, allulose. Allulose and monk fruit are probably two of my favorites.
Okay.
Because they're so tolerable. They're so safe. They don't do anything to blood sugar. No. Allulose is actually the research to help regulate or lower blood sugar, which is why diabetics are love No Foods.
Yep.
You know, so sugar alcohols are awesome.
Isn't there allulose in this?
Yeah, they use allulose in there, 4 grams. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ryan, like awesome question.
Thank you,
sugar alcohols are usually pretty good, and they're usually pretty tolerable, and they don't get metabolized by the body.
That's why you subtract them when you do net carbs.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point.
So we'll recap the net carbs, fiber, carbs minus fiber And if they are in it, minus sugar alcohols. Otherwise, it's carbs minus fiber, net carbs.
Yeah. Net carbs are very important to count instead of total carbs.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if you're doing keto, if you're doing a macro counting diet, if you're doing paleo, or if you're just simply trying to eat healthier. No, definitely counting the net carbs instead. If you're still confused on net carbs,
hit us up.
Message us. As thoroughly as we explained it, it's confusing. Listen, it is. It can be tricky. It can be confusing. Some products can throw you for a loop. So hit one of us up, both of us up, doesn't matter. And we'll be able to kind of break it down for you. You know, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. I think that's
if you guys have any more questions, shoot us a message.
You have a
Let's have a conversation.
You can show us if you can't find it in Australia.
Oh shoot, I don't know. Diana, I'm gonna send you a link to Lakanto Sweetener's website. They make a really good monk fruit. They make a packet as well. I don't know exactly what their thing is shipping out of country, but I don't really see why not. It might be a little extra in shipping costs, obviously, but I don't think they have a restriction to the US. So I'm gonna private message you their website link, and you can try to order from them.
We're about an hour in.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. We're gonna wrap this up. So yeah, that was a good podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys for watching, and thank you guys for listening. And
yeah,
you know, like if you're listening to this on iTunes or what was it Apple Google Play?
We got iTunes, SoundCloud, and we should be on Google Play. Hopefully this week,
yeah.
If not next week. I don't know what their deal is. About their.
But if you're watching us on iTunes and SoundCloud, or if you're watching this on a replay, any questions? We're super accessible. We're happy to have a conversation. No, leave us a rating. Leave us a
yes.
review.
And those are huge for us.
Yeah, big, big time.
Comments, reviews, likes, and shares. Those are like the big four for us. So if you can do them, especially on iTunes, there's 5 stars. You should give us all 5.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And if you don't like what we do, I mean, give us a shitty review. I mean, that's up to you.
Hey,
but I mean,
to each their own.
Yeah. But you'll probably get blocked.
Yeah.
So that's just how it goes. I'm just kidding. Cool. Episode 4, man. Good stuff.
Hell yeah. Episode 4.
Well, good luck with everybody in the snow.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get like 10 inches of snow or something.
Yeah. If you guys are East Coast, we're supposed to get like 5 to, yeah, we're supposed to get like close to 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So
good luck.
Be
stay
safe. Yeah.
Drive
Stock up on keto snacks tonight,
yeah.
So you can have them for tomorrow.
Go get them out. Go get them.
And that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for your questions. Thank you guys for sharing and liking and loving and showing us some love.
Yeah. Thanks to Sailaway again.
Yeah. Shout out.
Sea salt caramel.
Thank you to Sailaway for fueling this episode.
Yep. Yep. And till next week. Cheers.
See you guys later.
See
you.